Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. We're introduced to the line of Seth in these two verses. Genesis chapter 5 begins with Adam, but it's actually the lineage of Seth, who came from Adam, that we will be considering when we get into the fifth chapter of Genesis. The line of Seth began when God gave Adam and Eve another son. You remember Cain came, and he represents to us the line of the ungodly. We could say the unbelievers, the ones who didn't worship God, didn't have any time for God. And Abel was going to be, as I can use that term, the line of the godly, the believers. But he was slain. So God raises up Seth. And it's through the line of Seth that the godly line, the line through which the promise of the Messiah would be fulfilled, the godly line that would bring us Noah and ultimately bring Jesus Christ to come and be here to die for his people. We are descendants of Seth. We're not descendants of Cain. Cain's line ceased in the flood of Noah's day. Noah came through Seth's line, and we come from that line through which Noah's sons come out on the other side of the flood and multiply and replenish the earth with people. Seth is said to be born in the image of his father. Chapter 5, verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Seth was born in the image of his father, Adam. Well, when Adam was made, Adam was said to be made in the image of God. Adam was made in the image of God, sinless, innocent. But Seth is brought forth after the likeness of his father Adam, meaning he was born with that sinful nature. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As Seth is brought forth in the image of his father Adam, he is brought forth as a sinner and would need a Savior. And all those that come through this line are sinners by nature and need a Savior. There's no exception among us this morning. Everyone here today needs a Savior. Everyone here is born, not with the likeness of God, but is born in the likeness of Adam. Everyone here is born in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ came to be that Savior. I believe Seth was a believer. Seth was a man of faith. Seth is a man of prayer. And we study the line of Seth as we move through the remainder of chapter 4 into chapter 5. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she bare a son and called him Seth. Lest you be confused about who did the naming here in the book of Genesis. In chapter 3 of that fifth chapter, when it tells us Adam brought forth a son in his own likeness, it tells us that Adam called his name Seth. So these parents named their son Seth. It is attributed to Eve in verse 25. It is more properly attributed to Adam in chapter 5. But they're given another son. And Eve rejoiced when the first sons were born, and thought surely she had gotten a man from the Lord. Found out that wasn't true. And in this 25th verse this morning, she's rejoicing again because she sees that God has given her a substitute. God has given her a replacement. She said, God hath appointed me another seed instead of, or in the place of Abel, whom Cain slew. Eve called his name Seth, meaning substitute, because he was a substitute for Abel, who had been killed. And in verse number 26, it tells us that to Seth was born a son by the name of Enos or Enosh. And we pick up that line of the descendants of Seth in the next chapter, last part of verse 6, 7, and 8, and the opening of verse number 9 speaks of this son named Enos. And we see in this 26th verse that as Seth is brought forth and Seth brings forth a son, that it is around this time that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Man began to call upon the name of the Lord. We've told you frequently that Cain brought forth the sinful line. Seth would be the one that brings forth the godly line. And as Cain had children and those children had children and people were multiplied upon the earth, and Seth, the godly line, gave birth and people began to be multiplied in that line, we're told that there was a distinguishment made between the line of Seth and the line of Cain. The line of Cain was the line of the unbelievers. But the line of Seth, around this time that he was given Enos as a son, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to distinguish themselves from the rest of mankind. They began to be identified as children of God, distinct and different from the children of the unbelieving line of Cain. They began to pray unto God. They began to worship. They had already worshiped and were already known for worship. Adam and Eve worshipped and taught their sons to worship and to sacrifice. But around this time that it speaks of, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Those identified through the line of Seth, they began to pray unto Jehovah, and they began to worship publicly. Publicly. In Genesis chapter 12, as we read about Abraham's call, we read in verse number 8, "And he, Abram, removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Haran on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord." Abram, eventually Abraham, "builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord." He was very public about the worship of God, the worship of the Lord. In chapter 26 of Genesis, Genesis 26, verse 24. "And the Lord appeared unto him," now we're talking about Isaac, Abraham's son. "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he," Isaac, after the example of his father Abraham earlier, "he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." So men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to be distinguished. There became an evident difference between the people of the world and the children of God. Those that came through the line of ungodly Cain and those who came through the line of godly Seth. They began to pray. They began to worship publicly. In Genesis chapter 6, verse number 2. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years, And then God begins to unfold his plan about the building of the ark. But do you see the distinguishment in verse number 1? When man began to multiply upon the earth and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God took unto them daughters of the earth, daughters of man. See, this distinguishment has been made in our text. Cain brought forth the ungodly seed, the ungodly line. Seth brought forth the godly. That line that came through Seth began to pray, began to worship God publicly, began to distinguish themselves and became distinguished from the people of the earth. And you have the sons of God, which represents, I believe, those that came through the line of Seth. And the daughters of men, distinguished as those who came through Cain's line. And they took them wives unto them. And God gives this pronouncement. He's not going to strive with man forever. He lets things get to the place where he says, I've had enough. I'm going to destroy man from off the face of this earth. So that 26th verse said, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to pray unto the Lord, distinguishing them from people who did not pray. They began to worship the Lord more publicly, distinguishing themselves from those who did not worship God publicly. Cain's line went out away from the presence of the Lord and didn't have anything to do with God, didn't want anything to do with God, didn't want to worship God, didn't want to worship the God of mom and dad, didn't want to be a part of that. And so, these people that became distinguished and separate from the people of the world, the people of God, began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. I was thinking about there in the book of Acts. You have the Lord bringing about this great growth in the church at Jerusalem. He then scatters them and they go everywhere preaching the gospel, and you have churches starting everywhere. You have a great multiplying of God's seed. And there in the book of Acts, I can't remember the exact chapter right off hand, but when Paul and them are found in the church at Antioch, it tells us there in the book of Acts that they were called Christians first at Antioch. They became very distinct from the people of the world, separate from the people of the world. They became known by that term, by that tagline of Christian. They're in the latter part of the book of Acts. And that's what you have basically here in this men beginning to call upon the name of the Lord. They were a separate people from the people that came through the line of Cain. But there came a time when they began to separate themselves. There came a time when they began to withdraw themselves. There came a time when they began to identify themselves as, we are the people of God. We are the people of God. We pray to God. We worship Him publicly. We distinguish ourselves from the people of the world. We call ourselves by the name of the Lord. They had heard the call of Almighty God saying, come out from among them. Come out from the world. Come out from the people of the world. Come out and be ye separate. And I will receive you and I will be their God. And they came out. They began to pray, to worship, to distinguish themselves. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's a picture of us. The Lord saved our soul, brought us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And He's called us to come out from the world, to be separate from the world, to be distinct from the world. He called us out to identify us as Christians. And He's called us to be separate from the world. We find here in verse 26 of our text that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to distinguish themselves, to separate themselves you got Cain and his line, and then, of course, you got Seth and his line, and you got children being born and born and born and multiplying, and population of the earth taking off much faster than I think we can imagine. And you got all these people, those who came through the line of Seth, begin to separate themselves from Cain's line. And they will ultimately be separated when God destroys all of Cain's line in the flood, and only Seth's line survives to come out on the other side of the ark through the children of Noah. God has always called his people to separation. He's always called his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's always called his people to distinguish themselves from the world. He's always called his people to stand up and take the name of Jesus Christ and be different. That's what he's called every one of us to do today. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. God is always calling people to separation. He's always calling people, as he did with the line of Seth, to come out from the world, to be separate, to be a peculiar people, a special people unto himself. If you're here this morning and you're lost, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something this morning. God is calling unto you. God is calling unto you, my lost friend. And he's saying, come out from the world. Come out from the masses. Come out from the peoples of the world and the ways of the world. He's calling you, my lost friend, to come out and believe and to be saved. Can you hear him calling? Everybody here today who is saved, who is a Christian, who is a member of this church, who has forgiveness and eternal life, has heard the call of God at some time in their life when he called them to come out and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this room is full of testimonies of people who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, received the Lord Jesus Christ, and became a child of God. Pew by pew, we can go through this room and find people who heard the call of God. And my lost friend, God calls you this morning. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, verse 10. Back up to verse 8, Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you hear that? If you'll receive, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of God, the promise of God's word is, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, not be embarrassed, but will identify, will come out and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Look at that 13th verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Baptists do not have any problem whatsoever with the word whosoever. We believe in that word whosoever. We believe that it's still true today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall be saved. That includes you. If you're here and you're lost, God calls you to come out. God calls you to separate. God says, come unto me and be my child. Believe on my son, and thou shalt be saved. But if you're here today and you're saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized, God calls out unto you. He calls to the sinner to come out and believe. He calls to the saved to come out and be baptized. We won't turn there in Acts chapter 2. But Peter is preaching unto those lost Jews in and around Jerusalem. He preached unto them the gospel. He made them guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. And they were pricked in their hearts. And they cried out to Peter, what must we do? What should we do? And Peter said to them, when they were pricked in their hearts, wanting to know what they should do, repent. Repent. And be baptized. Every one of you for the remission of sins. God calls the sinners to believe and to be saved. God calls to the saved to come out and be baptized. Identify. Let everybody know you believe Jesus Christ died for you. Let everybody know that you identify yourself with Jesus Christ. Let everybody know by that public display that you call upon the name of the Lord and there's something different about you. See, the flesh doesn't want to be different. The flesh doesn't want to stand out. The flesh is uncomfortable with that. But it tells us in this passage of Scripture, whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall not be ashamed. Meaning, when one is truly saved, they don't worry about embarrassment. They don't worry about being ashamed. They're believers in Jesus Christ and they're not afraid to acknowledge it. And the Lord says unto the one who is saved, be baptized. Come out, put your light on the candlestick and walk like a child of God. Let everybody know that you believe Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for you. Let everybody know that. By believe, he not only calls the sinner to come out and to believe and to be saved, but he calls the saved to come out and believe and be baptized. But he says to the saint, come out. You who believe, be baptized and be added to my church. See, the Lord is always calling people away from the world. He's always calling people to come out. And to be separate and to be different. He's always calling people to identify themselves with him. That's what men began to do there in Genesis chapter 4. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to be identified with God. And they brought forth that kind of a lineage. And it's through that lineage that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah and his three sons and their wives go into the ark. And it's through that line of those that separate themselves and identify themselves with God that the earth will be remultiplied with people. And it's through that line that ultimately Jesus Christ would come. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one, talking about the church body, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized. I believe that's water baptism. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That body is the church, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The same chapter, verse 18. But now hath God set members, the members, every one of them in the body as it had pleased him. Verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, a local visible assembly. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Seth brought forth Enos. It's around that time when the sons of God, the children of God, began to identify themselves with God, began to pray, began to worship, began to distinguish themselves, began to call upon the name of the Lord. God called them to separation. God called them away from the world and to be distinct from that line that was going to continue through the line of Cain. God is still calling people to separate today. Have you heard that call? Have you begun to pray? Have you begun to worship? Have you begun to distinguish yourself? Have you begun to call upon the name of the Lord? Have you come out from the world and heard these calls? Or what one of these calls are you hearing today? Lost friend, are you hearing the call, whosoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved? Are you hearing that today? What prevents you? What keeps you from hearing that call and coming out and saying, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe he's forgiven me and I'm going to live forever. Are you hearing that call? Are you saved and hearing the call to scriptural baptism? It's never going to go away. These calls are never going to go away. Until the end, God will have his word being preached and the gospel being presented, and sinners are going to be called to repent and believe. That's never going to change until eternity is ushered in. It's never going to change God's calling the saved to baptism, to be baptized. It doesn't matter what amount of time passes. He's still going to be calling you. Can you hear that call today? Unto God be glory in the church, world without end, unto the end of the world, Ephesians 3:21 says. It's never going to change that God's going to call sinners to believe in Jesus Christ. He's going to call those that believe in Jesus Christ to be scripturally baptized. And he's going to call those who are scripturally baptized to be added, to become a part of the body of Christ. Are you hearing any of those calls? I pray you will. I pray you do. I pray before it's everlastingly too late, you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Before it's everlastingly too late, I pray that you don't go off into eternity a believer in Jesus Christ, but without scriptural baptism. I pray you don't go off into eternity having been given the opportunity to be a member of one of the Lord's true churches, but having died outside of it. Whether you're a sinner, you're saved, or you're a saint, there's a call to come out Which one are you hearing? Let's stand together, have a verse of song.